David says in Psalm 32, when he held in his secret sins, he said, "When I refused to confess my sins, I was weak and miserable, and I groaned all day long. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Finally, I confessed my sins to you, and I stopped trying to hide them all, and you forgave me, and all my guilt is gone." He said, "You know, when I held in all these secrets, I got sick. And when I get them out, when I'm honest and I'm open and I'm humble, I get a whole lot better."
Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Today, we continue in our series called Life's Healing Choices. In these lessons, Rick offers an in-depth biblical look at overcoming the hurts, hang-ups, and habits that hold us back in life. Now, in just a few moments, we're going to tell you about a great video resource that will show you step-by-step how to let go of your past hurts, hang-ups, and habits once and for all, called the Life's Healing Choices Study Kit, an 8-session DVD and workbook. You can take a sneak peek at it while you listen today just by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called The Reality Choice.
What does it mean to be poor in spirit? That's what I want us to look at today. What does it mean? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Well, first, circle the phrase "in spirit," because he's not talking about physical poverty. There is no blessing in being poor physically. He's not talking about physical poverty. He's talking about spiritual poverty, recognizing my sinfulness, recognizing my helplessness, recognizing my hopelessness. I love the God's Word translation of this verse says, "Blessed are those who recognize that they are spiritually helpless." That's what he's talking about, spiritually helpless. Now, in Celebrate Recovery, we have the first statement, which perfectly describes what it means to be poor in spirit. So I wrote it there in your outline. It means, I admit I need help, that I'm powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing, and my life is unmanageable. That is what it means to be poor in spirit. And God says, if you develop that attitude, that I admit that I'm powerless, that I need help, that I can't control and manage everything in my life, but I need God's help, he says, then you will be blessed. It's the first step on the step to being blessed. So today, let's look at how do I develop that attitude. You see, it's not being physically poor, it's spiritually poor. They don't call them Beatitudes for nothing. This is the first attitude you need to be. You need to be poor in spirit. How do I develop the spirit of being poor in spirit? The Bible teaches us three ways. Number one, first, to be poor in spirit, I must humbly admit I need help. I humbly admit that I need help. I've got to face the truth about me. I've got to stop living in denial, and that's why we call this the reality choice. Now, Jesus said the truth will what? Set you free. And so I have to face the truth about me. But the truth about the truth is we don't like the truth. You can't handle the truth. You don't like the truth about you. You know what? You love the truth about everybody else. You love it about everybody else. But you hate the truth about you. You can't handle it. And we avoid it and we fake it. And the problem is it's painful and we'd rather live phony lives. And it feels a whole lot safer to not handle the truth about me because the truth sets me free. But first, it makes me miserable when I realize what needs changing in my life. So I humbly admit that I need help. That's being honest. Now, the good news is that your habits and your hurts and your hang-ups can be healed. The bad news is it takes humility. It takes humility. You've got to humble yourself and swallow your pride. Now, James says this on your verse there. God resists the proud and gives grace to who? The humble. What is grace? Grace is the power you need to change. Let me be real honest with you. You're going to see some radical change in your life if you'll do what we do in these campaigns. But it's not going to happen by willpower. Willpower doesn't work. How many diets have you started? How many exercise programs have you started? Willpower does not work because you get tired. What you need is the grace of God. And grace is the power you need to change. How do you get grace? God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to who? The humble. So if I want God's power to change, I've got to be humble. What does that mean? Well, let me get real specific. There are some facts that you need to admit about you. Would you write these down? These are things you need to admit about you if God's going to bless your life. Number one, the first thing you need to admit is this. I am broken. Just write it down there. I am broken. Why? We live in a broken world, and in a fallen world, nothing works perfectly. The weather doesn't work perfectly. The economy doesn't work perfectly. Our relationships don't work perfectly. Our marriages don't work perfectly. Everything is broken. Have you noticed your body doesn't work perfectly? Even your DNA is broken. God never intended for there to be deformities in the world. Physical deformities, emotional deformities, mental deformities, but that we live in a broken world and everything is broken. And you can't expect two broken people to get married and have a perfect marriage. It ain't gonna happen. It's gonna be broken too because you can only work with what you've got. The Bible says this on the screen, Romans 8:20, creation is confused. It's frustrated, it's growing, it's confused, and everybody's confused today. I don't know what I'm supposed to be, what I'm supposed to do. We have confused attitudes, confused addictions, confused about everything in life. Now, you've been broken by nature, and you've been broken by nurture. You've been broken by sins you've done, and you've been broken by sins done to you. You've been broken by choices, and you have been broken by circumstances. So it really doesn't matter. But the fact is, we're all in the same boat. Nobody is perfect. I'm broken. And that takes humility to admit that. Number two, you need to admit this. My secrets make me sick. My secrets make me sick. David says in Psalm 32, when he held in his secret sins, he said, "When I refused to confess my sins, I was weak and miserable, and I groaned all day long. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Finally, I confessed my sins to you, and I stopped trying to hide them all, and you forgave me, and all my guilt is gone." He said, you know, when I held in all the secrets, I got sick. It's not so much what you eat, it's what's eating you.
The second half of today's show is coming up next. If you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the other helpful resources. That's rickwarren.org or just text the word daily to 99000. The second half of today's lesson is coming up.
We've all been hurt by other people. We've hurt ourselves and we've hurt others. And as a result, every single one of us ends up with some sort of hurt, hang-up, or habit. But the question we all face is, where do we go from here? The Life's Healing Choices DVD Study Kit from Pastor Rick Warren offers freedom from those hurts, hang-ups, and habits through 8 healing choices that promise true happiness and life transformation. Using the Beatitudes of Jesus as a foundation, Rick leads you through 8 video sessions that offer practical, encouraging biblical teaching. Each session includes real-life stories of men and women whose lives have been transformed by living out the 8 choices presented in this study kit. Through making each of these choices, you will find God's pathway to wholeness, growth, spiritual maturity, happiness, and healing. You'll find real answers, real hope, and a real future. One healing choice at a time. We'd love to send you this life-changing DVD and workbook as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this broadcast ministry. Call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com right now to request the Life's Healing Choices DVD Study Kit from Pastor Rick Warren. Again, that's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Thanks.
Once again, here's Rick.
David says in Psalm 32, when he held in his secret sins, he said, "When I refused to confess my sins, I was weak and miserable, and I groaned all day long. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Finally, I confessed my sins to you, and I stopped trying to hide them all, and you forgave me, and all my guilt is gone." He said, you know, when I held in all these secrets, I got sick. It's not so much what you eat, it's what's eating you. And if you're tired all the time and you're frustrated all the time and you've got all these problems, guess what? You need to look at, what am I holding inside? What am I hiding? My secrets make me sick. And when I get them out, when I'm honest and I'm open and I'm humble, I get a whole lot better. You see, friends, hiding never works. Listen very closely to me. When you hide a sin, it increases. It gets worse in your life, not better. Because I don't want anybody to know this. And it becomes a compulsion, and you got to do it again and again and again. The more you hide it, the more it increases. When you hide a fear, it intensifies, and the fear gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And when you hide a hurt, a memory, it imprints it on your mind, and it gets stronger and stronger and stronger in your mind. Hiding a hurt, a sin, a fear never works. It only intensifies it in your life. So, let me ask you a very important question. What are you pretending isn't a problem? And you're trying to fake it till you make it, but you're going to break it. I'm a poet. And I don't know it, but my feet show it because they're Longfellers. How many times have you heard that, Kay? Too many times. Okay, here's another thing you need to write down to be honest about. I must admit it to defeat it. Would you write that down? I must admit it to defeat it. I can't work on the sins in my life till I admit the sins in my life. I can't work in the hang-ups in my life till I admit the hang-ups in my life. I can't work on the fears in my life until I admit the fears in my life. I must admit it to defeat it. Proverbs 28:13. Look at this verse here on the screen. You will never succeed in life. You want to be a success in life? Well, look at this. You will never succeed in life if you try to hide your sins. God says that. You're going to be fighting against God. You will never succeed in life if you try to hide your sins. Confess them, give them up, and God will show you mercy. I can't defeat it until I admit it. You see, we waste an enormous amount of energy hiding our hurts, our faults, our hang-ups. And all that energy you use to pretend you're somebody that you're not and to hide your weaknesses and your faults from other people, it drains your life, and it's why you're tired all the time. And if you didn't have to hide anything, you were open and authentic, you'd have a whole lot more energy for the good stuff. I am broken. My secrets keep me sick. I can't defeat it until I admit it. Number four, here's another thing you need to be honest about. It's my pride and fear that keep me stuck. It's my pride and my fear that keep me stuck. Now, this problem is as old as man. Genesis chapter 3, Adam in the Garden of Eden, right after he sins, he says, "I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." What's the first fear? The fear of exposure. That somebody's going to find out what I'm really like on the inside. I was afraid because I was naked. That's the way we feel. Vulnerable. Naked. So I hid. And people have been hiding and hurling ever since. We hide our own sins and we hurl at everybody else's. You go over to Matthew 25 and the story of the parable of the talents. And the guy who had the one talent, he says, I was afraid, so I hid my talent. A lot of you are doing that. And it is that, it is pride. I don't want anybody to know my weaknesses. And it's fear. I'm scared to death of my weaknesses that keep us from getting well, from getting healthy, from getting whole, from growing, from getting unstuck. Some of you are old enough to remember that in the 1970s, there was a very popular book called I'm Okay, You're Okay. Does anybody remember that book? I'm Okay, You're Okay. Yeah. Now, there's a word for that. It's a theological term. When you cross a crocodile and an abalone, it's a crocabalone. I am not okay, and you're not okay. The truth is, I'm not okay, you're not okay, but that's okay because God will make me okay. That's what Jesus came to do. If I'm okay, you're okay. Imagine Jesus on the cross, arms outstretched, bleeding to death, saying, if you're okay, why am I up here? If you're okay, why am I dying on the cross for you? You're not okay. I'm not okay. But that's okay. Because God's grace makes us okay. What's not okay is your refusal to admit that you're not okay. That we need each other and we need God's grace. You know, I was cleaning out the refrigerator this week. That can be quite a spiritual experience. And I learned a very important theological truth in cleaning out the refrigerator. Stuff doesn't have to stink for it to be rotten. That's profound. Now, some vegetables, when they go rotten, they let you know it. You ever smelled a rotten potato? Oh, baby, oh, baby. That stinks. A potato, when it's rotten on the inside, it lets you know it. But you know what? An avocado can rot, and it still looks okay on the outside. And it doesn't smell. But they're both just as rotten. Now, here's the point. Some of you think, I don't need recovery because my rottenness doesn't stink. We think just the smelly people need CR. Just because you're rotten doesn't stink doesn't mean you're not rotten. There's stuff in you you don't like. I'm not talking about what God doesn't like. I'm talking about stuff in your life you don't even like about you. You go, man, I wish I could change that. I always do that, and I just wish I didn't do that. I wish I could be more loving, more unselfish. I wish I didn't lose my temper so much. I wish I didn't have that compulsion. I wish I didn't have that fear. I wish I weren't so insecure. The point is, nobody's more broken than you, and you're not more broken than anybody else, but we're all in the same boat. We're all in the same boat. You're as broken as everybody else, and depravity is total. Now, because of our pride and because of our fear, we don't want to be honest about this. We don't want to admit our weaknesses. We don't want to admit our fears. We don't want to admit. Have you ever seen somebody says, man, you're getting angry. I am not angry. Yes, you are. I am not angry. It's really obvious they're angry. But we don't want to admit our emotions a lot of the time. But because of our pride and fear, we try to fix ourselves. And Jeremiah says it this way up here on the screen, Jeremiah 2:13. My people have committed two sins. One, they have forsaken me, the spring of living water. I'm the one who's got all the answers, God says, for your life. And two, they've dug their own broken wells, their own broken cisterns that can't hold water. Not only do we reject God, we make up our own plan to fix ourselves. And it doesn't hold water. Isn't it amazing all the things that people will try to get their life together instead of God? They'll try astrology, aromatherapy, crystals, reading your palm, acupuncture, and on, all so this is gonna, and they'll go to fads and therapies and conferences and cults. and tapes and motivational seminars and read books and believe the wackiest, stupidest ideas. Try everything except God. We build our own wells, and the wells are cracked and won't hold water. Friends, you can go on every good diet, you can go on and every other thing you can do, but you can't solve a spiritual problem with a physical substance. Let me say it again. You can't solve spiritual brokenness with a physical substance, whether it's a pill or a drug or alcohol or television or pornography or anything else. It isn't going to relieve your pain ultimately. You cannot solve your spiritual problem with a physical substance. So the first thing I have to do if I'm going to be poor in spirit is I must humbly admit I don't have it all together. Humbly admit I need help. Here's the second thing I need to do. I need to humbly ask God for help. I admit, then I ask. I admit I need help, then I ask God for help. I move from confession, I admit I need help, to petition, I need help. I'm asking God for help. And in 2 Corinthians 1:9, Paul says it like this. He was going through a tough time. He said, we despaired of even life itself. Did you know that at one point Paul said, I was ready to kick the bucket. I was so depressed. I was so discouraged. I was ready to give up on life. And then he says here in this verse, we saw how powerless we were to help ourselves. That's step one, poor in spirit. I don't have the power to change. But that was good.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. If you'd like a copy of today's message, including portions that we didn't have time for, or you'd like to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional, just go to PastorRick.com. That's Pastor Rick with two R's in the middle, .com. You'll find this message and others along with more helpful resources. Rick will be back in a moment with a final word of encouragement, but first, it's no secret that we've all been hurt by other people. We've hurt ourselves, we've hurt others, and as a result, every single one of us ends up with some sort of hurt, hang-up, or habit. But the question we all face is, where do we go from here? The Life's Healing Choices DVD study kit from Pastor Rick Warren offers freedom from those hurts, hang-ups, and habits through 8 healing choices that promise true happiness and life transformation. Here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
We've all made poor choices in life, and we've all been infected by the poor choices we've made and others have made. It means every one of us has developed unhealthy patterns in our lives, and as a result, we all get hurt, we all have habits, and we all have hang-ups that mess up our lives, and we need to deal with these. You know, it's easy to assume that you'll never be able to change or heal from the past patterns in our lives, but Jesus offers us the hope that we need to change. He offers us hope for a second chance and hope to renew our lives. That's why I created Life's Healing Choices Study Kit. You can use it either by yourself or even better, get a couple friends and study it together in a small group. This study kit is based on the Beatitudes, where Jesus teaches you how to make choices every day that will help you build a healthy foundation for real change in your life. Now, I'd like to send you this Life's Healing Choices Study Kit as a thank you. When you give a gift financially to support Daily Hope Ministry and this broadcast around the world. Now, the study kit includes my 8-session teaching DVD and a workbook that can be used either, as I said, by yourself or you can do it as a small group study. And I really would encourage you to get a couple friends and do the study together. We always grow more in community with other people. Thanks for listening today and thanks for supporting Daily Hope. You know that we are a 100% listener-supported ministry. We don't have any big donor out there. It's your generosity that makes it possible for me to record and produce these messages and give them out all around the world, trying to help people with the hope we need for change. Thanks for listening today, and thanks for supporting us financially. Join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
We'd love to send you this life-changing DVD and workbook as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this broadcast ministry. Call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com right now to request the Life's Healing Choices DVD study kit from Pastor Rick Warren. Again, that's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.